Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Keeping It Real with Shayla. Welcome back to me, I guess. I haven't been podcasting in years. It's been years. The last time that I recorded an episode was actually the day that I went to the gender ultrasound appointment when I was 20 weeks pregnant. And I recorded the entire thing when we found out. And for whatever reason, I never edited that episode. I actually just listened to it. And I just never did any editing on it, never posted it. And then from there, I just didn't feel the desire to podcast. Looking back now, I know that I didn't do that because I was having a hard time. And I didn't feel like I had anything helpful to produce. I don't know if that makes sense. I was just in a tough time in my life, adjusting to change, adapting to pregnancy, not necessarily getting all of the support that I deserved, and I did what I needed to do to get through it. And here we are, about 3 years later. Isn't that crazy how time flies? I just can't. First off, I just want to say this first episode especially is going to be extremely casual. That is going to be my vibe moving forward. I am not a professional editor. I am not great with this kind of technology, so it's, you know, casual. We're all casual here. This first episode, I went over and over in my head how I wanted to start this out, what topic I wanted to cover. And I kept going back and forth. I have so many things that I want to talk about and say, and it was just too difficult for me to narrow down. And so I finally just decided I'm just going to be vulnerable and be completely unscripted. And you will hear a lot of ums because I'm a little nervous. I'm pushing my boundaries. I'm not afraid to be totally honest. I will pretty much tell anybody who asks my story. It's not easy. It's not always easy. So now that you know how casual this is going to be, I just want to catch you up on what the last few years have looked like for me. Prepare yourself because it's a lot. So, like I said, the last time I have checked in here was about 3 years ago when I was about 20 weeks pregnant. On that day that I had last recorded, that I haven't decided if I'll share or not because I was so nervous and anxious that I was rambling like a goofball, but we ended up finding out that we were having a girl, which was the best day ever. I mean, I don't want to say the best day of my life because the best day of my life was when she was born, but such an amazing feeling because I just felt with everything in me that it was going to be a girl, and I knew that if I had a girl, I would be able to replicate the relationship that I have with my mom. We are just so incredibly close, and I just saw that flash in front of my eyes when I found out that we were having a girl. I was ecstatic. So found out that we were having a girl, and my pregnancy actually was relatively easy. I was very blessed. My baby was very small in terms of just like how I carried. I was pretty much very comfortable up until the last week. And it was that last 2 weeks that I had expressed my concerns to my doctor because It sounds weird, but I actually complained to her that I was still so comfortable and I felt like I was so small. Now, hear me out with this. After having several miscarriages, I was so happy to finally be pregnant. Like, I worked so hard to get pregnant and to stay pregnant and to carry this baby that I was looking in the mirror every single day waiting to see a big belly looking back at me. So the fact that I had made it to about 37 weeks and my belly wasn't really big yet just was a little concerning. I mean, I was able to do all the things. I was, you know, tying my shoes without difficulty. I was, you know, shaving my legs, all this stuff. I mean, it was a little bit more challenging, but I was totally able to do it without really issue. And so I just had told her that, and she was like, equally a little concerned. And so she had me go in a few days in a row to do some tests to kind of just see how baby was moving and to kind of measure her growth since the last scan. And they had determined that she hadn't really grown a lot since the previous scan, or like at least as much as they would want to see. And so did some monitoring, and she seemed healthy, but they decided that it wasn't really doing her any favors to keep her in and any longer than necessary. So it was decided that if I didn't go into labor on my own, that we would induce me on my due date. The other reasoning for doing that was because the amniotic fluid was low amniotic fluid, which isn't good. They didn't have major red flags, but they weren't happy about it. So we decided to move ahead with the induction on my due date, which was October 14th of 2019. Went in that morning and no progress, nothing. I had such a miserable weekend walking around. Oh God, I remember it like it was yesterday. I had volunteered, you know, I had asked Mike, my husband at the time, if, you know, let's go somewhere, let's go shopping. I got to walk around, right? And so we go to Fleet Farm. And at this time they had, you know, the toys out because Christmas was going to be in a few months. And so, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be a fun time. When I tell you this man dragged me through every sporting goods aisle, and I was just like, it wasn't until the last week, I'm telling you, that it got to be miserable. Like, my skin hurt. It just, I just remember it like it was yesterday. I was so miserable. I even had some pictures, like selfies that I took, because I was just like pissed. But yeah, walked around some stores, got some kind of last minute groceries, and nothing happened. Went in on induction day, and I think they said I was at a one, if that, you know. So started the whole process. Someday I'll do an individual episode on my birth story because it is just too much to get into this episode. But it was quick in terms of the actual delivery. It took about, you know, I should really do a whole timeline of birth, but, you know, I would say it took 20 hours to get my body ready to labor. And let's just say that the actual birth was a surprise. She slipped right out. And I will just say that the anesthesiologist at Sanford Hospital is my favorite person in the world. Absolutely the best pain relief I've ever gotten. It was incredible. Almost, it was too good. But she was born beautiful, healthy, just incredible. I mean, the most incredible experience and feeling of my life when they pulled her up and laid her on me, and I saw this tiny 6-pound, 3-ounce baby girl, tons of dark fuzzy hair, big blue eyes staring back at me. She was exactly what I pictured. Just absolute perfection. Amazing. Incredible. Highly recommend. And got to take our baby home, and we started our new chapter. It was bliss. Absolute bliss. You know, not easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I mean, probably a whole separate episode will have to be about newborns, sleep training, breastfeeding, teething. I mean, my God, it's really hard. I look back and I feel that I was extremely blessed in the sense that I think I was born to raise a newborn. It was easy for me. I mean, it's not easy, but it was all so incredibly natural and intuitive for me. I don't know how to explain it. I was just so in tune with myself and my daughter that it was easy. It was effortless. Even just, I look back, I don't know how I had the energy, but just, I think I had adrenaline for like a whole year. I mean, I was just good at it and I loved it. One thing that I'm now realizing that I forgot to mention is that nobody knew our baby's name until she was born. It was just something that I wanted to do to kind of avoid any like weird reactions and negative feedback, you know, and I also wanted to be a surprise for my mom. We named her Charlotte Elaine, and Elaine is my mom's middle name, and I believe it was also my grandma's middle name. And I would have named her actually after my grandma. Love her. May she rest in peace. But her name was Claris. One of my favorite humans in the world. I miss her so much. But I know she would understand because she would get teased about her name and she'd always get called Clarice and she hated it. So, little Charlotte Elaine Wearies was born October 15th, 2019 at 7 a.m., I think. We don't entirely know exactly what time it was, but again, that's for another day. And then it kind of started where I took on the mothering role, like I said, effortless. It came so naturally to me. I was so proactive with things. I knew that breastfeeding was going to be hard, but I also knew that something wasn't quite right. Our pediatrician kind of gaslit me a little bit and said that I was incorrect in thinking that she had a lip and or tongue tie. And I decided to go to a like pediatric dentist to see what they thought, and they confirmed immediately that she was both lip and tongue tied. And so then I said, let's go ahead, let's schedule this corrective procedure, get that released so that we can continue breastfeeding as long as possible and then prevent future issues with speech and eating, etc., even just bottle feeding, because at this time she was a very gassy baby, which is normal, but I was just very proactive about things, and it definitely helped. One thing that did not help in the process of raising this newborn was doing a lot of it alone. Now, that is a blanket statement. I wasn't alone. I was married, and he was around. That was hit and miss. I would say 70 to 75% of the time, he was sleeping on the lower level of the home while Charlotte and I slept upstairs. I have vivid memories of sleeping upstairs in our bedroom alone and co-sleeping with the baby and waking up every 2 hours to feed her. Now, when I say every 2 hours, I mean set the alarm for one, feed for a half an hour, and then 3 o'clock, wake up with the alarm, feed. And we had to do that for several weeks because she was pretty tiny and we needed to help her gain weight. And I did this alone for a while. I was the only one that bathed her. I nursed her until she was about 7 months old and finally just kind of decided that I had met my goal and was ready to move forward with just pumping. And after a lot of kind of difficult experiences with clogs and other complications of pumping and nursing, I had just decided to discontinue that, which was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. Almost as hard as it was to donate. I had a lot of milk that I had accumulated and I didn't have space for, and so I donated quite a bit, which was such a blessing and such a beautiful thing to be able to do, but to let go of all that hard work was just heartbreaking, actually. But I digress. It was a tough time. I would say the first 9 months, the happiest time of my life. But one thing that having a child will do for you is it will realign your goals for you. The things you thought you wanted no longer matter, or the things you thought you would never want, you do. And maybe it didn't make sense before, but it does now. The truth is, my relationship was kind of hell from the very beginning. I will be very honest, and this is hard for me. I have to kind of be careful what I say because I don't want to speak too ill of this person, but it was a very difficult relationship from the beginning, and I can honestly say I was never treated the way that I deserved, ever. Because even when it seemed like I was, or I thought I was, there was very hurtful, manipulative, and toxic treatment happening at the same time. And I had considered leaving many times, countless times. I have visceral memories, reactions to these memories of escaping the house, even before marriage, before Charlotte, after Charlotte. I would escape, run to a coffee shop with my computer and look up apartments and look up and just make spreadsheets of this is what it would cost for me to leave. and it was horrifying. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. I was stuck. And so I kept trying and I kept trying and I kept trying. We went to couples counseling where I think we tried 3 different therapists, and each time they were very easily manipulated. We always left unresolved. And the truth of the matter was, it wasn't me. It wasn't us. It was him. I was in therapy for myself. I was working on myself. But everything was my fault. Everything came back down to me and the things that I was depriving him of. And I tried to take ownership of that because I was told that that was the problem, and it wasn't. I'll get into that on another episode. Maybe talk about narcissism and abuse and manipulation and gaslighting, and that'll be a heavy one. But I finally had a conversation with him and I said, you need to get yourself right. Of course there's an airplane flying over, why wouldn't there be? I just sat down and I told him, I need you to get help for yourself. We're not going to do couples counseling anymore, because the only way that we can improve together is if we both are bringing our best selves to the table, and we aren't. And he agreed. And in hindsight, it sucks that it came to that, I'm a huge advocate for therapy. I will say it up and down. I love therapy. I highly encourage anybody to be in therapy, but especially him. The unresolved family traumas and things that he's experienced definitely required therapy. And this was prime COVID. This was the spring of 2020. So he was in therapy virtually on like a laptop, which I'm sure was difficult to maneuver. But I think he did 3 or 4 of those appointments. And I had a come to Jesus moment. So I want to talk about that real quick. So the spring of 2020, COVID-19 hit. It washed over the United States and everything shut down, including the company I worked for. One afternoon, they said, we're all going home, pack up your computers, your desktops, your everything, and take it home, set it up, and tomorrow everybody is telecommuting, working from home. And it was exciting. It was something that I always kind of had considered doing, but wasn't sure if I would ever actually like it, because I do have anxiety and I end up holding up at home and not going anywhere. And so I thought that it might kind of trigger something. So I started working from home, and once the COVID cases started moving into our area, I decided to pull Charlotte from daycare. Now, she was a few months old, still just not even crawling, just a tiny little thing, and I thought, this could work. I will nurse, I will pump, she can hang out with me while I work, it'll be great. At this time, I was working an internal position at my job, so I didn't have to be on the phone, do anything like that. And it was great. It was awesome. I could set her up on a little bouncer on the bed behind my desk, and she would just hang out. It was awesome. It was great. And all this time together gave me this opportunity to reflect on what I wanted for her. In the past, when I would go through the checklist of this is what I need to do and this is what it would cost and can I do this? Is this something that I want? Is this what I want my future to look like? And I could never come up with a decision to move forward with that. It wasn't enough. And I forced myself to think about what kind of love Charlotte would be growing up around. We're setting the precedent. We are developing her love language, and we would be showcasing what love is, and she would be learning firsthand and thinking that what was happening was okay. And I did not want that. I would rather my daughter grow up seeing healthy self-love than growing up seeing toxic, abusive, dysfunctional horrible marriage. And it was at that moment that I just decided. It was just right in the middle of a work day. I was like, I really don't want her to be around that. That's not what I want. And I knew it wasn't going to be possible. It just was not possible. I did a little online research and found some resources for victims of abuse and made some connections and was given some resources to figure out what my next steps would be. And it wasn't long after that I sat Mike down and I just point blank let him know that I was done. And it was pretty clear that he was surprised. I'm not sure how. I had given so many chances, so many verbal, written, so many warnings and so many chances and opportunities. I was so clear. My love language is words of affirmation. I'm a talker. I will tell you to your face until I'm blue in the face what I need, what I want, what's not going well. And it just wasn't enough. It was never enough. And I just knew at that point that I'd done everything I could. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what he was doing, even though I know it was good for him. I just knew it wasn't gonna be enough. After, 7 years? What's gonna change? And that was brought up, that he was doing what I asked him to do, and I don't even know what I said or if I had a response. I just knew that nothing would change. And I believe it was, I'm not entirely sure, maybe a month later that I was moving into my own apartment. In the process, I cleaned the house and got it on the market with a realtor, got it staged and everything, and the house sold within See, I don't even remember. A few days it was sold for quite a good profit, which I'm so thankful for. The profit that we made on our home allowed for me to start over. If we hadn't made a nice profit off of our home and split that, I'm not sure if I would have been able to, but I was able to pay off a little bit of debt, move into an apartment, and be comfortable. And that's where I am now. I am a single mother to a beautiful 2.5-year-old little girl. I still work at the same company, but I actually have since gotten a nice promotion. And I now work in client services. And I actually just had an exciting and big job interview that I'm waiting on hearing back from. That would be pretty life-changing. I'm pushing my boundaries in every sense of the word. I'm doing things that I never thought I would be doing. Not all of it is fun. I know the grass is greener where I'm at now. It's just really hard to appreciate that right now. I'm in my apartment alone for a week at a time. Because our custody arrangement is 50-50 and Charlotte is with each parent for a week at a time. And I'll talk about that a little bit. One thing that was promised to me was that if I left, that he would spend every dollar he had taking me to court, and specifically he said he would spend every dollar he had if I tried to seek anything more than 50-50 custody. At this point in my life, I was the primary caretaker for this child. He had never given her a bath. He doesn't know her doctor's name. He doesn't... I don't even know how to, like, paraphrase this, honestly. It just wasn't a question to me that at this point, being a 1-year-old baby, that she should be primarily with her mother. Now, I'm not trying to dog on paternal rights. Fathers absolutely have rights and need to be in the child's life, and that's never something that I've tried to say. I absolutely want Charlotte's father to be in her life. She loves him. He loves her. But in regards to her well-being, for the sake of consistency and what's most nurturing to her, I knew that it was best that I be her primary caretaker, and I had the evidence. I had receipts. I had the evidence to back this up. I had a great attorney, or so I thought. Mike went through 3 attorneys who were all absolute clowns. It's laughable in hindsight. Actually, it was laughable at the time and now. We went to trial, the whole 9 yards. It was horrific. It was horrible. The whole process was the most triggering thing I've ever done in my life. The week after trial, I was diagnosed with PTSD. And I've been trying to recover ever since. Um, It was hard. It took about 2 months to get the judge's decision. And the judge decided to adopt Mike's proposal for 50-50 custody, 1 week on, 1 week off of our 1.5-year-old daughter. The schedule is Friday through Thursday. So I'll get her on Friday after daycare, and then I bring her to daycare Friday morning, and then Mike picks up that Friday evening, etc. And getting that judgment was a loss that I wasn't expecting in the slightest. But it was like a death. It really, in every sense, every feeling of the word, it was a death. I don't know how to explain the mourning. Excuse me, that I had to go through. It was painful. It was painful. It still is. I'm getting more used to it, and I keep myself busy, but no mother should have to go through that, to go through this. No child should have to be taken away from her primary caregiver for a week at a time. It's been really hard. Zero out of 10, don't recommend. In hindsight, my attorney wasn't what I thought she was and didn't do what she should have done to represent me and to... I'll have to do an episode on that too, I guess. But I think I'll kind of leave it at that for now. I know this was super informal and kind of heavy. I want to stress that I'm free. I'm healthy. I'm working really hard to heal myself. I'm in therapy and I love it. I love her. I love my therapist. I have the healthiest relationship with food that I've probably ever had. I've lost 22 pounds. I have an amazing relationship with my daughter and with my family. I have an amazing home. I'm just incredibly blessed. I'm in a place that I never thought I would be. And I'm just so thankful for that. It's not easy. It's not always fun or easy, but I'm so blessed. And I highly encourage any woman to remind themselves, remind yourself that you are the prize. Walk around knowing that you are the prize. You're the gift. Remember that. Walk around with your head held high and know that you are the prize. Don't forget it. And if that's not enough, think of yourself like your child. My daughter deserves the best. She absolutely deserves the best. And so do I. So do you. Please know that you're not alone. If you ever need help, please feel free to call 1-800-799-7233. This is the toll-free hotline for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. This is where I went online to thehotline.org to chat with a live agent, and I didn't know what to expect, but I was incredibly validated and assured that I was pursuing the right thing. So feel free to go to thehotline.org, chat with a live agent. You can text the word START to 88788. You can call 1-800-799-7233. And it is completely confidential. It is 24/7. They will assist and help you get help. They will identify abuse, help you develop a plan for safety, support, give you local resources. Everybody deserves a healthy relationship. And whenever you're ready, they're there. They're there to listen. And I highly suggest taking advantage of these resources.